Prologue. The outcast dead. The fog was thick, muffling sound and sight. Where it parted, Will Herondale could see the street rising ahead of him, slick and wet and black with rain, and he could hear the voices of the dead. Not all shadow hunters could hear ghosts, unless the ghosts chose to be heard, but Will was one of those who could. As he approached the old cemetery, their voices rose in a ragged chorus, wails and pleading, cries and snarls. This was not a peaceful burial ground, but Will knew that. It was not his first visit to the Crossbones graveyard near London Bridge. He did his best to block out the noises, hunching his shoulders so that his collar covered his ears, head down, a fine mist of rain dampening his black hair. The entrance to the cemetery was halfway down the block, a pair of wrought iron gates set into a high stone wall, though any mundane passing by would have observed nothing but a plot of overgrown land, part of an unnamed builder's yard. As Will neared the gates, something else no mundane would have seen materialized out of the fog. A great bronze knocker in the shape of a hand, the fingers bony and skeletal. With a grimace, Will reached out one of his own gloved hands and lifted the knocker, letting it fall once, twice, three times, the hollow clank resounding through the night. Beyond the gates, mist rose like steam from the ground, obscuring the gleam of bone against the rough ground. Slowly the mist began to coalesce, taking on an eerie blue glow. Will put his hands to the bars of the gate. The cold of the metal seeped through his gloves, into his bones, and he shivered. It was more than an ordinary cold. When ghosts rose, they drew energy from their surroundings, depriving the air around them of heat. The hairs on the back of Will's neck prickled and stood up as the blue mist formed slowly into the shape of an old woman in a ragged dress and white apron, her head bent. "Hello, Moll," said Will. "You're looking particularly fine this evening, if I do say so." The ghost raised her head. Old Molly was a strong spirit, one of the stronger Will had ever encountered. Even as moonlight speared through a gap in the clouds, she hardly looked transparent. Her body was solid, her hair twisted in a thick yellow-gray coil over one shoulder, her rough red hands braced on her hips. Only her eyes were hollow, twin blue flames flickering in their depths. "William Herondale," she said. "Back again so soon?" She moved toward the gates with that gliding motion peculiar to ghosts. Her feet were bare and filthy despite the fact that they never touched the ground. Will leaned against the gate. "You know, I missed your pretty face." She grinned, her eyes flickering, and he caught a glimpse of the skull beneath the half-transparent skin. Overhead, the clouds had closed in on one another again, blocking out the moon. Idly, Will wondered what old Molly had done to get herself buried here, far from consecrated ground. Most of the wailing voices of the dead belonged to prostitutes, suicides, and stillbirths, those outcast dead who could not be buried in a churchyard. Although Molly had managed to make the situation quite profitable for herself, so perhaps she didn't mind. She chortled. "What do you want then, young shadow hunter? Malphus venom? I have the talon of a Morax demon, polished very fine, the poison of the tip entirely invisible." "No," Will said. "That's not what I need. I need 4IE, demon powders, ground fine." Molly turned her head to the side and spat a tendril of blue fire. "Now what's a fine young man like you want with stuff like that?" Will just sighed inwardly. Molly's protests were part of the bargaining process. Magnus had already sent Will to old Moll several times now. Once for black stinking candles that stuck to his skin like tar. Once for the bones of an unborn child. And once for a bag of fairy's eyes, which had dripped blood on his shirt. 4IE demon powder sounded pleasant by comparison. "You think I'm a fool?" Molly went on. "This is a trap, isn't it? You Nephilim catch me selling that sort of stuff, and it's the stick for old Moll, isn't it?" "You're already dead." Will did his best not to sound irritable. "I don't know what you think the clave could do to you now." "Ha! Her hollow eyes flamed. The prisons of the Silent Brothers beneath the earth can hold either the living or the dead. You know that, Shadow Hunter. Will held up his hands. No tricks, old one. Surely you must have heard the rumors running about in Downworld. The Clave has other things on its mind than tracking down ghosts who traffic in demon powders and fairy blood. He leaned forward. I'll give you a good price. He drew a cambric bag from his pocket and dangled it in the air. It clinked like coins rattling together. They all fit your description, Mole. An eager look came over her dead face, and she solidified enough to take the bag from him. She plunged one hand into it and brought her palm out full of rings. Gold wedding rings, each tied in a lover's knot at the top. Old Mole, like many ghosts, was always looking for that talisman, the lost piece of a past that would finally allow her to die, the anchor that kept her trapped in the world. In her case, it was her wedding ring. It was common belief, Magnus had told Will, that the ring was long gone, buried under the silty bed of the Thames. But in the meantime, she'd take any bag of found rings in the hope one would turn out to be hers. She dropped the rings back into the bag, which vanished somewhere on her undead person, and handed him a folded sachet of powder in return. He slipped it into his jacket pocket, just as the ghost began to shimmer and fade. Hold up there, Mole. This isn't all I have come for tonight. The spirit flickered, while greed warred with impatience and the effort of remaining visible. Finally, she grunted. Very well. What else do you want? Will hesitated. This was not something Magnus had sent him for. It was something he wanted to know for himself. Love potions. Old Mole screeched with laughter. Love potions? For Will Arendelle? Tame my way to turn down payment. But any man who looks like you has got no need of love potions, and that's a fact. No, Will said, a little desperation in his voice. I was looking for the opposite, really. Something that might put an end to being in love.
An hatred potion?
Mole still sounded amused. I was hoping for something more akin to indifference. Tolerance. She made a snorting noise, astonishingly human for a ghost.
I hardly like to tell you this, Nephilim. But if you want a girl to hate you, there's easy enough ways of making it happen. You don't need my help with the poor thing.
And with that, she vanished, spinning away into the mists among the graves. Will, looking after her, sighed. Not for her, he said under his breath, though there was no one to hear him. For me. And he leaned his head against the cold iron gate.